The Lord, say amen.
Amen.
Take your Bible, go to the book of Ephesians. I wasn't hungry until he mentioned a steak. I've been in Louisiana all week, down below New Orleans. And if you ever have watched the swamp people, the gator hunters, I was in the town next to their town, and a 70-year-old Cajun ship captain took me out in the bayou Thursday, and gators and crawfish, black bears. I didn't see any of them, but I scared the whole time. And so they fed me seafood and Cajun cooking all week long. It's good. But I was thinking on the drive out of there, I'm ready for a steak and a potato now. I'm not a Cajun, I'm a Georgian. Hadn't the Lord been good to us? Lord, we thank you for Calvary. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Lord, help me for a little while. Oh, Lord God, help us for a little while. Lord, in these services, in these scriptures, in this sanctuary, we'll love you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. And all the Lord's people said,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I sure do miss Brother Kerrigan. I know some of you really do, and some of you much more so than others. But I miss him. And look at this beautiful arrangement and had to think about him and how much vision he poured into this and how the Lord's arranged this. And built debt free as far as I remember. And it's amazing. And now for all these grand, I was thinking of Sister Jenny is over there singing. I believe he'd be happy with them grand youngins and great grand youngins. Filling this thing with his praise. Brother Rochester, we're praying for you and praying the Lord to help you and bless you. That the Lord will give you many great years of good, godly ministry here. Brother Johnson, stand up just for a moment. I know a lot of the folk may already know Brother Jeff Johnson, but he's our official World Harvest Baptist representative. And this, as of January, he stepped into that official capacity. And he's going to be helping me in our World Harvest missions, and he's going to be helping our missionaries. Amen. And he's going to be raising funds for when our missionaries have special needs. And so you be praying for him. And he needs monthly support himself to do this. I just asked him a while ago. I need him to go to Africa in April and to Eastern Europe in July. And so he's going to need help as he helps us. But thank the Lord. I'm glad I'm part of this, aren't you?
Amen.
Well, the Lord's given me some burden for today. And I want you to go to Ephesians. And I appreciate how this church comes to the Redfield. And Brother Rochester, too, they've always come. So now y'all can come together. Y'all will be allowed to sit together. And I always put Miss Jenny up on the platform because it always blows out right before she sings. She's almost sang there 20 times. Hadn't the Lord been so good to us?
Amen.
I bless his name. If you're in Ephesians, the Lord, I'm just going to preach a little until I'm hungry. When my belly growls the second time, I'm dismissing. I've never seen the end of any of my sermons anyhow. I imagine they end good, but I just have to imagine that. I've never been to the end of one of my sermons. I even stretch one message out and preach it all week long in a revival and still don't get to the end of it. I gave up my sub points years ago. I laid them on the altar. People were giving up TV and tobacco. So I just gave up my sub points, you know. They were getting on my nerves. I want to talk about the church, because the Lord has given us the church, and that's my burden, is that this church will go on for another generation and go on for another season, that this church will go on and go deeper and go higher. And so the entire book of Ephesians is my text. So I'm not going to read the whole text. Wouldn't be bad. That might be good in our churches, just to read the scriptures. But in Ephesians chapter 1, would you look at it there where the Lord has given us these scriptures. Verse 22 and verse 23. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now let's read chapter 2 and verse 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And here it comes. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. What about that? Amen. Chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul. That's repeated three times in Ephesians. Well, it's given three times in Ephesians. For this cause. He said, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, I sure am glad I've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God.
Amen.
Now, Sister Jenny, did you know that y'all were singing Amazing Grace? John Newton, and I'll get to go be in his church in England in May, the Lord willing. And John Newton wrote that song back in those days, the churches. I shouldn't tell y'all this. It might put a heavy workload on Brother Michael. The churches, the preachers had to write a song with their sermon every Sunday. So that'd be 52 songs a year, wouldn't it, Brother Michael? He had to write a song. And John Newton, when he wrote Amazing Grace, he was preaching out of his text, was Romans 5:20. And I love this verse. And if you're born again, blood washed, no longer a dog but a sheep, Gentile, you ought to pop a happy bubble the size of a redneck belt buckle. His text was this: for where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And that's why he wrote Amazing Grace. And that week, he wrote 17 verses. Now, I didn't know if you knew that or not. I told Brother Johnson, leaned over to her, there's 17 original verses. And he said, she could sing all of them as far as I'm concerned. It's feeling pretty good in there. Me and Brother Mike, we sang as pretty as Miss Jenny, but nobody's ever heard us. My allergies have been bothering me for several decades. And it's there. A trained ear can hear it, but people just don't appreciate us. But 17 verses he wrote about the grace of God. Amen. Kick three people in the shin that don't believe in tithing. Kick three more in the shins that gossip a little too much. You know, a little's harmless. A little too much is over much. And run around this church and shout for half an hour that God's grace has found you. Thank God His grace has found you. And you may have found it, but it was looking for you. And we're not Calvinists, but we sure are thankful that God came to where we were. Read verse 2. If ye have heard, I'm in chapter 3. I may read all of Ephesians. That's what it's turning into. If ye have heard of the dispensation. I'm glad He's dispensed some grace to us. All of His grace. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to youward, how that by revelation He made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And here's that mystery, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise. Now, I remind you, Galatians said the church is made up of neither Jew nor Gentile, but you're all one in Christ Jesus. Verse 7, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of His power unto me. Brother, when I turn 50, I'll be 50 this summer. And I'll be 50 July the 5th. But you can bring presents to the Redfield, even though that's the 25th. I receive presents 3 weeks later. I will. I'll accommodate y'all on that. But when I turn 50, I've been signing Bibles. I was a 13-year-old preacher boy when the Lord called me and preached a few youth meetings here and there. But I've been signing Bibles. People ask me to sign their Bibles for, 36 years now. And I've always signed it with Psalm 63, verse 1 and 2. But that whole psalm, God gave it to me out at the pine tree when I was a teenage boy. God gave me that psalm. Oh God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee. And here's America. In a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Y'all ought to be glad there's a little shouting going on around here this morning. Where no water is. A lot of places have no water. To see Thy power and Thy glory. So as I've seen Thee in the sanctuary. And on that precious psalm. But when I turn 50, I may start signing my Bible with this verse right here. Because for I'll be 50. And just since I was 13, the Lord's let me preach. I'm about to run. I'm about to run around your building. I may get these boys to run for me. I may start signing this verse, verse 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Amen. Woo! And that 63rd Psalm got me started. Amen. I'm hitting the half century mark. My body feels like it's 70, but my spirit feels like it's 20, and all my friends look like they're 90, so I don't know what's going on. But if any of my friends go on a diet and lose too much weight, I'm no longer their friend. I only hang out with healthy boys. Amen. You need a lot of help, son. See if you can help him, Cameron. Help him the best you can, Cameron. Full head of hair, that ain't gonna give you nothing, son. You gotta more. But I've made it to the half century mark, and the Lord's grace has been good to me. And I've been privileged to preach. And we gotta be real careful that this thing's not about us. This preaching's about Christ, and it's about getting that gospel to the Gentiles. I think in the South, Sometimes it's too much about us. Even while we're hollering about how it's all about him. That comes out of most people's mouth, sounds like a cliche. Don't sound like something real. And I'm going to tell you something. When your church becomes about your church, you're not having church anymore. When you're singing about your song, it's only blessing you and your granny. When you worship your worship, you're not worshiping anymore. Y'all got to help me. And when a man's preaching is about his sermon, he's not preaching. And I'm going to tell you something, brother. When your service is about your service, it's not true service. We better humble ourselves. We need a big dose of humility in the house of God. Y'all ain't helping me. We need a big dose of humility in the average Baptist church in the South. We done got full of ourselves. Be practical for a minute. If you're always fussy and picking and always irritable and you're liable to turn into a troublemaker about once a month, you're full of pride. Y'all got to talk to me. I don't have any Sunday morning sermons. That sermon book fell out of the back of the station wagon when I was a little boy. I don't have any. Y'all talk to me now. This thing's become about you. If you always fussy at the church, who cares if they got your parking spot? Jesus took your sins to Calvary. That's what you ought to be thinking about. Who cares if they sang your song? That song's for you to sing to him. Quit worrying about who hears it and don't hear it. Who cares if they gave the youth group to somebody else's nephew? Talk to me now. And if you raise your hand in business meeting and everybody cringes because you like to show yourself in business meeting, shame on you. Now, he's not talking to me and y'all know better than that. And if he had it, I wouldn't have remembered. I've been 3 or 4 churches every week, and I don't remember which problem was in which church. I'll get them mixed up, straighten out something in church A that was wrong in church B. I'll chew out church C for what was going on in church D. So I don't try to remember that. Everybody I know's got problems. Are you human? And every church I know is made up of saved folk, but they also have an old nature. So he hadn't told me anything. But if people cringe when you start running your mouth, you're full of yourself. Y'all got to talk to me. Brother Rackley won't be this. He'll be sweet when he gets here. He'll plow, but he's not as mean. He's not as ornery as I am. He's also skinny, so I'm leaving before he gets here. Oh, look what Paul, verse 8. Are y'all still in chapter 3, verse 8? I'm going to preach on the church, but I may not even get through reading my text this morning. We are coming back tonight, and I do got to eat a steak and a potato in between services because I got too many shrimps and oysters and crawfishes that talk to me now. Do you know that they eat their jambalaya with potato salad? That's how you got to do it. You got to have a boat. This don't have nothing to do with the sermon, but I'm visiting with y'all. You got to have a bowl of potato salad next to your jambalaya, and you dip your potato salad. I mean, potato salad like we eat it. And then you get a spoonful of jambalaya. Anyhow, I need help. I've been down there all week. Are y'all going to, somebody help me? Look in verse 8. I went along with them, you know, when in Rome, you know, when in Louisiana. But unto me, see chapter 3, verse 8, unto me. I didn't say it's about me. It said it was unto me. Who am less than the least of all saints. Well, there's your humility. You've probably seen this. Maybe a new Christian needs to hear this. Paul testified 3 times, at least. In 1 Corinthians 15, he said, I am the least of the apostles. That's 1 Corinthians 15. But then he lands here in Ephesians 3 and he said, he added an L adjective. I am less than the least of all saints. Then he got over there in Timothy chapter 1 and he said, I'm the chief of sinners. Oh, y'all ain't helping me. As he progressed through his Christian journey, he got smaller. He kept lowering himself from one tier to another. First he lumped himself in with the apostles. Then he brought himself down just with all the saints. Then the last time we heard him testify, he said, he's down there with the sinners. Y'all ain't helping me. That's 1 Corinthians 15. Least of the apostles, Ephesians 3. Less than the least of all saints. And then in Timothy chapter 1, he said, I'm the chief of sinners. Every time he talked about himself, he was getting lower and lower. Y'all better help me right there. Oh my. But every time he talked about Jesus, he got brighter and brighter. In Acts 9, he said, there's a light shone around about me. In Acts 26, he gave his salvation testimony again, and he said, a bright light. In Acts 28, he had to go over it one more time, and he said, it was a light, woo, shining above the brightness of the firmament. What do y'all think about that? He got smaller the further he went, and Jesus got bigger. Wouldn't that be good if God done that in this church? Decrease. We decrease. If you're going to go another round, if you're going to survive another generation, if you're going to make another generation, I'm going to tell you something. It might be a little sober, but I'm going to tell you anyhow. Most churches don't survive a transition. I'm just going to tell you, the actual history. Most churches will have a great preacher in one run, and they'll never have another. Now, I'm going to tell y'all something. Y'all better link arms, and you better humble yourselves, and you better get on this altar, and somebody better be real serious about this thing lasting for another generation. It's not about Brother Kerrigan. He wouldn't want it to be about Brother Kerrigan. He didn't build this for Andrew Kerrigan. This is built for the glory of the Lord Jesus. It's not about Brother Rochester. This is not supposed to be about this revival is not about Dean McNeese. And it's not about Barry Rackley, who's skinny. It's surely not about skinny preachers. But no. This thing's not about us. And in the South, we've been having church so long we done laid claim to everything. That's my microphone. That's my piano. My grandpa put that in right there. Tear it out and take it back to the house, and you and your grandma enjoy that. Yes, sir. I was preaching to a bunch 2 weeks ago. They had to bolt the grand piano. They had to chain it to the floor. This is some time ago, but I was with the bunch. And they'd had a big old church split and a fuss and a fight. And they said, we're going to come down and take our piano back. And then they come in there and it was... only we Baptists can get crazy like this. It was chained and padlocked to the floor. Oh, heavens. They brought charter members, honey. They brought people from everywhere. They had folk nobody there had ever met and claiming to be members. Dear time, y'all help me now. That's when you're full of yourself and you're full of pride and you're full of stubbornness and you don't have the fruit of the Spirit, which is in Ephesians 5. It's in Ephesians 5. That love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith. I always skip one. There's one in there. I always skip probably the one that I don't have. But there's nine of them. 2019, the Lord's burdened me about this year. Holy Ghost burden for the churches. That nine's the number of the Holy Spirit. There's nine gifts of the Spirit. There's nine of the fruit of the Spirit. There's 90 mentions of the Holy Ghost. Got to have a King James Bible to count. 90 mentions of the Holy Ghost. Sarah was 90 when she gave birth to Isaac, and Abraham was 99. It's a fruitful number. Y'all ain't helping me. I think the ninth book of the Bible is Little Ruth. Woo! If you don't know why that's a blessing, you need to go to church another decade or two. You'll figure it out. That's where that little Gentile bride got brought in right there. Oh, my. Needs to be the number of the Holy Spirit. Man told me, the old man of God told me, the Spirit-filled life. The one enemy of the Spirit-filled life. One thing that'll hinder the Spirit-filled life. One thing a Holy Ghost wants, one thing you got to relinquish. He said it's one word. Control. You got to be willing to lose control. You've got to let Him have control. That angel came and wrestled with Jacob. Old Jacob was left at the ford Jabbok. Pretty sure that's not how you pronounce it, but I'm pretty sure that's how I pronounce it. The ford Jabbok. He was left there in Genesis 32, and the Bible says, I'm quoting the King James, said, and he was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Are y'all hearing me? God will come along and wrestle with you until the thing breaks. You know what's missing? The average Baptist church that I get in don't have any power. There's no brokenness. There's no broken spirit. There's no broken wheels. There's no broken people. I'm talking about a wild horse or a wild donkey or a wild oxen they're trying to work with that hadn't been broken. Jeremiah talked about a bull that was unaccustomed to the yoke. Never been broken. God, give us some broken spirit. What's the quote, Brother Johnson? A broken spirit and a contrite heart. Thou wilt not. Yeah, despise. Thank you. Broken. Be mighty good if the Lord come along in here this week and just take us and break us. He could not distribute that bread until He had broken it. The body of Christ, you wasn't allowed, you couldn't get in it until it was broken. That night He wrestled with Jacob until the breaking. The breaking of the day. And the breaking of His strength. He touched Him in the hollow of His thigh, the strongest muscle in the human body, and God broke him. Some of you are going to die lost because you never would break. Some of you are going to die empty. You have lived in vanity and you'll stand at the judgment seat empty-handed because you never let God break you. The average Baptist church will know nothing about the move of God that He's referring to this morning. You'll never know nothing about the move of God because there's no brokenness. No brokenness. They wrestled a man with him until the breaking. Until the breaking. Hey, you needing something from God? Are you needing a lot from God? Are you needing to hear from God? Are you needing the Lord to come by? And are you needing deliverance? What do you need from God? What do you need from God? I got news for you. If you let Him break you, He can do what He needs to do. If you let Him break you, You know what would be good? Brother Rochester, been preaching for you many years. I remember you was over there in the Bible college, and one night you and some boys from the Bible college come and took me out to eat. I think it was a steak and potato. In my memory it was. Whether it was or not, I insert memories where I want them. Oh, my. Wouldn't it be something if the Lord come along here and broke this thing? Now, I've read you three texts about the church, and I was going to preach on the church, but I didn't. We need to be broken of that pride. We need that humility. Need a big dose of it. You say, somebody been talking to you? No. This the Lord started talking to me this morning. Huh? He said, preach on the church out of Ephesians. And then when I got up there, he said, let's talk about the church being broken. Huh? What could the Lord bring out of this place? This alabaster box, if it was broken. I'm not trying to be dramatic, and I'm not trying to be sensational, but hear me. This thing better get broken, or y'all not going to last.
Amen.
I was born in a family full of preachers, old men of God, been in our family. I was raised in this thing, raised around men of God, nothing but. Raised around churches, nothing but. I can't fix your car, I can't fix your computer, I couldn't build you a doghouse. I worked a lot growing up. My daddy lied. He was a great man of God, but he was bad to lie about me. I was 9 and he took me down to the newspaper office and said, Dean here wants to work. It was a lie. It was a lie. I did not want to work. He told that on me all my entire childhood. I scratched my head. How does this great man of God just bald-faced lie to all these people? I worked for a hog farmer, had 700 hogs. Dear, yes, he did. We broke every environmental law there was. I thought it was great. That man fed them. He fed them old bread and dead chickens. We got 2 bread trucks from Chattanooga for old bread. And he visited every chicken house in 2 counties. And dear time, you'll not get that smell off of you. We had 5-gallon buckets by the dozen filled with dead chickens. He took me down there. Our song leader was a block mason. Now that's some work when you're mixing mud and hauling block up a ladder. Yeah, my daddy lied to him, and I really didn't want him to lie to that man. Dean here wants to work. No, Dean here wants to climb the apple tree and eat a candy bar and play all afternoon. And I'm telling you, none of it stuck. We had to work on cars the whole time I was growing up. Other people had money and could actually buy cars that ran. We didn't know they made cars that ran. But none of that stuck because God didn't want me working on none of them things. He wanted me working on the church.
Amen.
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 Sir.
Amen.
Good. Good.
Amen. Good.
Y'all better pray this thing breaks.
Amen.
You better pray you break. Not being dramatic, not being sensational. I've heard no stories. I don't want to hear any stories. I'll get confused and chew the church out next week for what y'all been doing. They'll be real confused. They'll try to get right, but it won't even be the right sin that's preaching on. No, I don't never. I got news for you. You better pray this thing breaks. You better pray that you break. You know, to help your marriage, he mentioned them twice this morning. You know, to help your home, if daddy was broken, then the Lord Jesus could flow out all over that home. Sure would help if mama was broken. It's better to get in the corner of an empty rooftop than to dwell in a wide house with a brawling woman. It sure would help. The only thing going to work for them teenagers is God break them. Hard for teenagers to get broken in a cold church. Yeah, it ain't going to happen. Teenagers are not going to get broken in a church unless it's on fire.
Amen.
And if there's more fuss raised at the business meeting than they are at the prayer meeting, you're in trouble.
Yes, sir. Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen. Tell it, preacher.
Amen. Right.
Talking about teenagers, let me tell you something. We don't have a youth problem in this nation. We got a parent problem. Broken. I laid down in the back of a warehouse in Dallas, Georgia in my mid-20s, and I let him kill me. I said, Lord, this is killing me. He said, good. I said, you're going to kill me. He said, that's what I'm trying to do. I said, but it'll kill me. And he said, you're the only problem you have is you. And I submitted. I yielded. And when he killed me, he was able to bury me. And when he buried me, he was able to resurrect me.
Amen.
And when he resurrected me, I was able to walk like a new man. Woo! Let's pray. Let's pray. Who needs to come make music on the piano? Be fine. Let's get around these altars and pray that we actually have a revival. I'm not going to manipulate you and play games with you. Come. Come. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, you need to be saved, come be saved. He died for you, he'll save you. Everybody else stand, make it easy for people to move. Somebody may need to come be saved. Let's everybody stand that's left in the pews. Oh, he's got to break us. To thee, I need thee every hour, most gracious. When thou art nigh, I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come. to thee.